Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This hour is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today.
The views and opinions of Layla Rahimi and Marshall Harris should not be taken too seriously,
especially when they give advice.
Do not take Marshall's analogies literally,
especially when it comes to Russell Dorsey.
The sports thoughts of Rahimi and Harris may change at any time. Remember, it's just sports.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Bye. Rahimi and Harris, 10 to 2 on 670.
If the Cubs struggle against the Cardinals and, say, get swept in a four-game series, the Brewers could be in first place. And the Cards, they could be a half game out. So now we look at this series with a little more fear. Is that the right word? An appropriate level of fear?
What, you sound concerned.
I am concerned.
You're concerned at what the Cubs' week is going to look like once we get to Friday, Saturday. You're about to play some teams that aren't the sub-500 teams that you've been beating up on. Like, you're playing real teams.
Not just real teams, Russell. You're playing teams that are looking right at you and saying, if we beat you, we are back in the mix.
Fly ball to right, deep. Back goes Tucker to the wall. It's going to leave the yard.
Brendan Donovan cranks one deep right field. Tucker looks up, and it's gone. Here's the pitch to Burleson, and a high fly ball deep right field. Tucker going back at the wall, looks up. And this one's gone as well.
Deep drive to right center, going back is Crow Armstrong, and this ball is gone. And the Cardinal left-handed batter doing all the damage against Ben Brown. Four different left-handed hitters have hit a two-run home run.
Hey, Cubs fans, don't panic. Jeez.
This is no time to panic.
This is the perfect time to panic.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Yeah, that's us, broadcasting live from the Score Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. It is Rahimi and Harris. I'm Marshall Harris, but with me right now, continuing over, imagine if you had a pitcher throw a complete game in the first game of a doubleheader, and then he said, you know what, I want to be the opener for the next game. That's what David Haw's doing
right
now.
I'm Greg Taylor, basically. I'm just going to pitch the first inning of this morning, 5:30, and then I'm just going to stay. I won't pitch the last inning of this show, but I'll pitch a couple more innings. And, yeah, I'm coming back. Maybe a second end of a doubleheader is the best way to put it.
Listen, Russell Dorsey, we talked to him yesterday. He said, hey, man, I need an opener. So he's going to be along later.
Right, all right.
So now you're the opener.
I'll
serving
be the opener.
For Russell Dorsey. Maybe Ben Brown does need to go back to having an opener, though.
It was a pretty efficient morning, not going to lie. So I still have some pitches left. I don't have the. I'm not quite at 115 pitches yet. So we were rationing my words and my pitches. So I think I'm fine. I'll be okay.
So you're not what they call a barrel hunter or a barrel finder, because that's what Ben Brown was last night.
Well, he was bad. He was bad when they needed him to be good. And as we have been talking all morning, this is something that I think qualifies as a Cub crisis. When you lose 4 out of 5 and the pitcher that you were relying upon to come through to ease your bullpen burden and to just ease your mind about your rotation, he did not have it last night, and it was very hard to watch.
We are going to be talking about the Cubs' pitching situation. We're also going to be talking about the NBA draft, which I can't believe is just one day away. The Bulls have the 12th pick. John Hollinger will join us to talk about the draft at 11 o'clock. Ian Happ joins us at 11:25 to share his thoughts on what happened last night and a whole lot more. Russell Dorsey joins us for halftime at 11:45. Then it's 5 on it, and then we will get into it with what's going on with the White Sox and Chris Getz, what he had to say about the trade deadline upcoming with Luis Robert Jr., other people, maybe some money being infused into the program. But we start with this Cubs team that I think crisis is not overstating things, David, and here's why. Because when Shota Imanaga went down, you looked and said, next man up, and you got a couple of guys who have really stepped up in the time since Shota Imanaga went down. One of them being the swingman, Colin Ray. And then, of course, Cade Horton comes up and shows you what he can do, well, of course, with the help of an opener, gets eased into the situation that they've been facing. And they had the stretch, 21 straight games against sub-500 opponents. Mm-hmm. In that stretch, they went 16-5. That means they gained, over a 21-game stretch, 11 more games over 500. Now, though, they are facing nothing but winning teams, nothing but hopeful playoff teams between now and the All-Star break, and we are seeing the weather change, and with it, the Cubs aren't the only one with a big offense anymore. Everybody's got a big offense. The Cubs' pitching has wilted under the pressure.
It's been a tough week, no doubt about it. It has been a difficult stretch, losing 4 out of 5. I think you can be appropriately concerned and disappointed, but at the same time, you can't lose hope that this is a team that has fooled you into thinking more was possible than they're currently, you know, at the level they're currently playing. This is still a team capable of doing big things. This still can be a season that is very special. There's just teams go through this. Good teams have bad stretches. The Yankees just went through one. You're going to see the Dodgers have had their struggles. The Cubs are dealing with life without their best pitcher. They already lost Justin Steele. You can make excuses if they sound like him, but the bullpen decline over the weekend was inevitable. And I think what happened last night was disappointing, but not terribly surprising. Ben Brown has not been good lately. So you have to balance reality with the fact that, you know, okay, this was bound to happen with, you don't want to overreact and go to calamity because it doesn't have to be lasting. This doesn't have to last forever.
Let's go with what happened last night for Ben Brown, giving up 4 2-run homers, the first three coming with 2 outs in each inning, in which he did. So that was bad. He was almost to the finish line of getting back to the dugout and on a hot and humid day in St. Louis. It did not happen. But listen what Craig Counsell had to say about Ben Brown's start, what went wrong, and the fact that he got, quote unquote, 15 outs last night.
It was really good. I mean, even the fourth was you know, good. You know, he just got a couple. He got through the lineup quickly. Got through the lineup with no pitches, and then you know, they just got some pitches to hit, and they didn't miss them. They took good swings. They hit homers, and they put a big number on the board. This is part of being a young starting pitcher in the league, and trying to make progress. You know, as you have to get 15, 18 outs in a game, it's difficult.
So he was able to get through 5 innings.
Stop.
And get 15 outs. Stop. That's how Craig Counsell
looks. I know,
at. So listen,
Marshall.
Listen. David, here's the thing. When you hear Craig Counsell talk about getting outs in the manner he's doing, he sounds like he's managing the White Sox, because that's what they have to do every night. They have to say, we have 162 games. We're not going to compete. We just have to make sure we get through these innings. That's not the Cubs' objective. The Cubs' objective is to get through the 9 innings every night with a dub. And they threw up the white flag.
Well, here's what happened, though, last night. And I want to be consistent here. I think Craig Counsell, his biggest value is his even temperament. And that his ability to maintain that consistent approach day in and day out, regardless of the outcome or the level of disappointment he must feel in Ben Brown's outing, where he gave up 4 2-run homers against the Cardinals. The first time a Cub pitcher had done that since 1912. Okay, that's a long time. But his ability to stay on an even keel should be commended. That said, I've about had it with managers who tell me that we should be satisfied as baseball observers with 5-inning outings that give up all the runs, but they got out, so that was supposed to be good. Heard it from Aaron Civale on Saturday in Toronto for the White Sox. He went seven, gave up four runs by the second inning, and we're supposed to applaud his effort. I would be more interested in preventing runs than getting outs, and I don't think that's always the case with managers.
I think one of the things working against Craig Counsell and the Cubs right now is the 19 straight days. They got a lot of breaks in the schedule because of that early series in Japan where they had days off where other teams did not have days off, and they took advantage, and they were able to space out their bullpen and do things that they liked, right? Mm-hmm. But I think now, if you just look at the last week, I'm going to give you some stats here, and these stats are so telling, not just for pitching but for hitting. Only the Rockies and the Marlins have fewer strikeouts than the Cubs 43 over the last 7 days. Why do I give you that stat? Because at the end of the day, if you can't miss bats, you're going to get hit when the weather turns as it has. Only the Twins have a higher ERA at 7.81 and WHIP at 1.79 than the Cubs have had over the last week.
That's a good number.
They are dead last, 341 batting average against over the last week. Only the Nats, giving up 19 home runs, have given up more home runs than the Cubs 18 over the last week. I say all that not just to show you a picture of where the pitching is compared to everybody else, but in that same time span, the Cubs lead the majors in home runs.
I know.
In that same time span, they're fifth in team OPS, 864, second in slug, trailing only the Mariners because we saw what they did over the weekend. So it's the offense is still offensing, but the defense is
the pitching has been bad.
Yeah.
And I think they just got done without making an excuse for them. But I think you have to take into account and give due respect and credit to Cal Raleigh's wrecking crew and the Seattle Mariners.
Yes.
They came to Chicago at a time which was the most conducive to power hitting that you would want at Wrigley Field. Also, here's another, you love the stats. Here's another stat. On Saturday morning, we got word that as the Cubs got ready to play the Mariners at Wrigley Field, that it was the only time since they've been measuring this, like in the last 10 years, that the weather was over 90 degrees or more, and the wind was blowing out at 15 or more miles per hour.
Crazy.
So no wonder they hit 21 home runs over between both teams in that three-game series. My point being, these numbers are somewhat inflated. It's like a starting pitcher that spent his career in Colorado. You take into consideration the elements when you're considering how good or bad it all went.
That's why Mike Hampton was like, I'll give up home runs, but I hit them too because I'm in Colorado now. Right. That's what happens. This segment brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today. You're listening to Raheemi and Harris, Layla with the day off. David Haw is our opener today before Russell Dorsey comes in and relieves him a little later in the show. He's here with us in the 11 o'clock hour. I'm glad you're loose because I think that first stat I gave you was the most important.
Yep.
And that was the one about the 43 strikeouts. Because, yes, you can have pitchers who are good and they pitch to contact, but the weather turns, they give up hits. This is just more data, more evidence. It's no longer anecdotal. If you thought it was, it's not. The Cubs need pitching help. They need a frontline starter. They need a guy with swing and miss stuff to add in addition to Shota Imanaga.
Are those the same thing? Because I do think they need swing and miss stuff also in the bullpen.
Yes, that too.
They need somebody who has that kind of ability at the top of the rotation. Is he your ace? Is that Sandy Alcantara? Is that somebody else that we're not, you know, we don't know yet? Who would that be? And how are the Cubs going to strategically target that person before Friday?
The problem is,
get him here by Friday.
Not by Friday. Okay. You get 6 to 9 days. That's what Bruce Levine told us.
Yeah.
6 to 9 days. Mm-hmm. The problem here is, when you talk about the bullpen needing help, I thought help was coming. I was like, oh, they're about to get Porter Hodge back. Everything is good. I don't know if you saw what he did at AAA.
Yeah.
It was not good.
Not good.
He pitched a third of an inning in his last outing Friday. Allowed 4 hits, 7 runs, 6 of them earned. He also walked 2. He did not record a strikeout. And Porter Hodge was a guy who was lined up to be the closer earlier this season before he went down. Now, you're hoping that's just a hiccup on the road to recovery, the road to rehab, if you will. But if it's not, that means now not only do you need a frontline starter, but you also need more bullpen help. Now, you're going to have to make decisions about what assets you want to give up, how many of the resources that you have in your minor league system you want to give up, and then is it going to be more for the starting pitching, more for the relief pitching? And they probably need a right-handed bat off the bench, if not a starter at third base.
You are getting very greedy.
Am I getting Marshall. Greedy, or did you tell me this is a one-time rip it off and see what Kyle Tucker can do because you don't know if he's coming back next season? No, if that's changed, let me know.
I'm not suggesting that you're not I think you're exactly right. I just think the greed part is in wanting it immediately. I think it's one step at a time.
Oh, no, no.
Because I think the first priority is the starting pitcher.
Yes.
The guy who you could envision starting a playoff game.
Yes.
Then you get him settled. And depending on how that affects what you do in the bullpen, because I think we'll talk next segment about different options that you have with your staff as is. But if you get a top of the rotation starter, then you decide how your bullpen fits together and what part you are missing and what you lack. After that, you get closer to the deadline, then some of those hitters you speak of, maybe Matt Shaw will have gotten it by then. Maybe not. Maybe Ryan McMahon becomes a higher priority. Maybe not. You don't know who else will be out there by the deadline. My point being, your third base need or your right-handed hitter need may be something you want to wait on because the field of potential targets could expand by the deadline. Whereas now, it's more of a sense of urgency to get a starting pitcher that you really don't want to go too long without.
Yeah, no, I agree with all of what you're saying. I wasn't saying that like all that has to be done this week. I was saying you have until July 31st to get it all done. And that's over a month, so you got plenty of time. I like that there seems to be a degree of urgency with getting starting pitching help because I know Ben Brown, Cade Horton, they're not going to be starting games at the end of the year. They're not. So I would argue that you need two pitchers. I want you to listen to something that happened yesterday on Spiegel and Holmes. So Matt Spiegel goes on and talks about Sandy Alcantara mm-hmm. and the Marlins potentially being interested in one Owen Casey. Listen to this.
We are right at that spot in the year where they might be. And the guy that the Marlins wanted for Jesus Luzardo from the Cubs is Owen Casey. And the Cubs would not do it. And Luzardo ends up with the Phillies. I would deal Owen Casey for Sandy Alcantara. And I think that's the guy to target. And I believe that they're going to target that guy, and I would not be surprised to see them jump the market and get that done.
So you hear that from Matt Spiegel. And to be clear, I would have done Owen Casey in a deal for Jesus Luzardo. I just want to be clear on that. Mm-hmm. But now you're limited in what your options are because we're not deep enough or close enough to the trade deadline to just go out and get anyone. You've got to wait for the sellers to kind of develop over time.
Well, I think also Matt knows this, that based on the marketplace, based on supply and demand, and based on Sandy Alcantara's contract situation, which is he's a guy that is not a UFA until 2028, so you have club control for a couple more years, the price will be higher than Owen Casey.
Yes.
Okay. Owen Casey will be part of a package, and maybe the primary part of a package, but it won't be just one for one. This will take more to get Sandy Alcantara, regardless of the kind of struggles he's gone through this season. If he is your number one target, and I think there's a difference of opinion on whether or not he is or should be, but if he is, and I agree with that, he should be, it's going to take more than just one of your top minor league sluggers. It's going to take probably one or possibly two more than that.
I just don't want to get into the situation where you look around and you're saying the Cubs, they went out and got, let's say they do get Sandy Alcantara. Clearly, if you get Sandy Alcantara, you want to make sure you have the help in the bullpen as well. That's going to be more assets. And all of a sudden, you're saying, how much are you willing to give up off the farm for this one shot at a World Series title, not knowing what the future of Kyle Tucker
holds? There's nobody in your organization that should be considered off limits when you're talking about trade capital or prospect capital in this, the 2025 season. This is not your ordinary season. This is a go-for-it season. You have 1 year of Kyle Tucker. It's the final year of Jed Hoyer's contract. He's probably done enough to earn an extension, but you have all of these factors contributing to the urgency that you have to take into this trade deadline, which is why a guy like Bruce is saying it's going to happen sooner rather than later because the Cubs recognize all that we just described.
All right, I want to remind the people to tune in to Spiegel and Holmes right after us from 2 to 6 p.m. all this week for your chance to win general admission tickets to Windy City Smokeout on Saturday, July 12th. Performances that day include Kane Brown, Megan Maroney, and more. For tickets and more information, visit WindyCitySmokeout.com. When we come back, we talked about how bad Ben Brown was, but let's talk about what's next for Ben Brown. I'm very specific in what cannot happen with Ben Brown going forward. That's when we come back with more Raheemi and Harris, David Haas sticking around for the first hour here on 670 The Score.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way. At the exact same time, like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Who is calling on our Score hotline? It's brought to you by Circa Sports Illinois.
Who's calling?
Hey! Ozzy!
You have been very great news to see. You got your own show. You earned it. You deserve it. Now you have it.
Raheemi and Harris on 670 The Score.
Deep drive to right center. Going back is Crow Armstrong, and this ball is gone. And the Cardinal left-handed batters doing all the damage against Ben Brown. Four different left-handed hitters have hit a two-run home run.
Still happened really fast, and it's really frustrating. It's going to be tough to sleep tonight just knowing that I was that close to something really good tonight.
That, the voice of Ben Brown after the calls of Pat Hughes, Ron Coomer on 670 The Score right here, and it was ugly. It was not pretty what happened to the Cubs last night. They got taken behind the proverbial woodshed, losing 8-2 back here on Raheemi and Harris alongside David Haw, who's in for Layla, at least for this first hour. And it struck me that Ben Brown, what I love about him is he's always been one to step up to the mic after a game and explain what happened as best he could in his eyes. And you feel like he's being authentic, he's being genuine, he's giving us insight, whether that was when he had an opener for him, whether that's when he goes through struggles, when he's pitching well, all of that, David. And that's why when I look at him now and people are wondering what should happen to him, I was like, you could do a lot of things with him. You can keep him in the rotation. You can send him down to AAA. Do not put him in the bullpen. Do not do that.
Well, I think, okay, before you respond to that directly, he understands what's been going on, and he's a very bright, aware young professional, and he realizes over the last 48 innings, his ERA is 6.94, and he has all of the reasons why. He's been working on a third pitch he can't quite develop, and he knows how limiting that can be as a starting pitcher. So I think it's a difficult needle to thread, and I understand why your conviction would be he's can't go in the bullpen. You got to keep him a starter. And then if you keep him a starter, you have to demote him to AAA.
Yes.
Because he's not staying in the he's not staying in the rotation in Chicago once Shota comes back. You wouldn't think. But I think it's a tough needle to thread, Marshall, because of what you might be looking at in the what we talked about the previous segment. If you do get a starter, his role changes on this team now and the rest of the season. If you send him down to Iowa, his role primarily on this team could be still to be a starting pitcher in August and September.
I think it behooves his confidence. And this is why I say don't put him in the bullpen. Because if you put him in the bullpen before you make a trade or do anything else, it's like you've given up on the idea of him as a starting pitcher. And you're right. He's got two pitches and is really struggling with a third pitch, right? The best way to deal with that is by sending him to Iowa where he can continue to develop that and not cost the Cubs wins.
But this is where the conundrum comes in for teams like the Cubs that have designs on winning divisions, pennants, and a World Series. You weigh the development of a player singularly, individually, versus what's best for the team. Because what's best for the player isn't always what's best for the team. What's best for Ben Brown's development might be to leave him as a starting pitcher.
Yes.
For the best of his career, to ascend to this level, to make all this money, and just last as long as he can, and maybe have a 6 to 8 to 10 year career as a starting pitcher. But you're 2025. You're looking at the realities that you just described. Well, it's urgent time. You can win with Kyle Tucker. You know what this 2025 Cub team needs most from Ben Brown? Be a high-leverage, late-inning relief pitcher with your two pitches because you have swing-and-miss stuff that you don't have.
Okay, so that's a good point. But what I'm saying is you can do that anytime. It's a lot easier to do that after sending him to AAA and bringing him back as that guy.
I don't think you can do that anytime.
Why can't he go down and work on that third pitch in AAA? And because here's the thing. If you're saying you're sure it's going to be him and not Colin Ray that comes out of the rotation for Imanaga on Thursday, if that's already like where you think
I'm not sure that's what I would recommend.
Okay, but if it goes that route, mm-hmm. putting him in the bullpen versus just sending him to AAA, where, first of all, you're going to need more starting pitching. I guarantee you this. The whole of the staff for the Cubs is not going to make every start, and that's whether Ben Brown's in the rotation or not, the rest of the season. You're always going to need more starting pitching help. And especially because of the stretch that the Cubs are going through right now with all these consecutive days, the idea that, oh, we can just have a bullpen game, that doesn't seem to fly right now. You agree with that, right?
Yeah, I do.
So just keep him ready, and also at the same time, developing that third pitch in AAA, Imanaga comes back. I guess Ray stays in the rotation. If it's not Ray, then Ray goes to the bullpen, and then it's Brown that stays in the rotation. That's the way I see it right now until a trade is made.
Mm-hmm. I just believe that if you send Ben Brown down to Iowa, where I think he eventually will end up, then you do risk damaging the confidence of somebody whose psyche has been the source of conversation. He works with a mental skills coach, like a lot of guys do. He's very open about the ebbs and flows he has emotionally. He is a guy that when you look at him on the mound sometimes in the first inning, you know immediately he's not going to have command because he looks like he can't manage that anxiety and the moment might be too big for him. So in that context, I would worry about his confidence level after a demotion and what he would be bringing. Maybe he would be more determined. Maybe he would bring that back to Chicago. But I just think it's a difficult needle to thread because you do have, and I wonder if this is all related to what Bruce suggested to us yesterday, that the Cubs are closing in on a deal or going to be making a deal in the next week to 10 days because they know how this all fits together. If you acquire a starter and you insert him into the rotation, then you take Ben Brown out, but you don't take him out entirely because he stays in the major league roster as a bullpen piece because he's better coming out of the bullpen. And you need that in this relief corps.
So if that happens, if they do make a trade, let's say they make a trade next week sometime, right? Mm-hmm. The good news is because now Imanaga are back and you have added a starting pitcher, now both Ray and Ben Brown can go to the bullpen if that's the way it goes. And then, yeah, you would feel a little bit better about where things are headed. I want to get back to Ben Brown and where his head is right now.
Okay.
Let's start with Carson Kelly talking about what exactly went wrong for Ben Brown as he was finding barrels last night.
You know, just misses over the big part of the plate. You're getting into some bad counts. Aggressive team that came out swinging and Yeah, just a lot of balls over the middle of the plate and getting in some bad counts. No, I mean, he's been great in between starts. He's a competitor, goes out there and does his thing, and you know, he's a young pitcher. There's going to be some ups and downs, and you know, there's going to be some growing pains in some areas, but you know, he's got really good stuff and he can pitch at this level. You know, and I think that's, you know, just part of being a young player.
Okay, so you hear Carson Kelly describing what I think is a natural evolution, right? It's not just a forward progress thing. You're going to have some setbacks. And right now, Ben Brown's dealing with a setback.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I think the idea of sending him to AAA is not bad on his confidence. It's actually a chance for him to build his confidence back up. Go have some success against some AAA and what they call 4A hitters, you know, the guys that are tear it up in AAA but don't quite have good enough stuff to hit in the big
leagues. It can be easy to forget guys in AAA. It can be easy to learn to live without them. I know what you're saying.
I don't think the Cubs are in a position to forget anyone right now. They need all the arms they can get.
But I know. But you know, it's harder to carve out a role on a pennant contending team when you are getting ready to face the Louisville Redbirds and or whoever, whatever AAA team you're facing that night. It's just that you worry out of sight, out of mind, and you don't want to become that guy. Even though he could definitely justify and they could rationalize sending him down, you know, working on another pitch and getting his head together, all those things, fine. You don't worry about Colin Ray to that degree because he's a guy who was brought here on a modest contract to be the swing guy anyway. He has exceeded expectations, even though he's not been good the last six starts.
And that was my whole thing. He's not been good. That, my whole thing is it's easier to move Colin Ray wherever you want to move him than it is to move Ben Brown. That's why I didn't want him to go bullpen, maybe have to be a starter again, depending on what the situation is. That voice you hear, that is David Haw. Yes, it is past 10 a.m. He's joining us as our opener today on Raheemy and Harris. Les got the day off. Russell Dorsey will be in later, though, to pick it up. About the second inning, third inning, fourth inning. But let's go back to Ben Brown and where he is right now. Here's Craig Counsell on if he's actually seen growth in Big Brown.
It's hard to see now, but there is growth happening. It's hard to like the growth when there's struggles going on. But that's where the best stuff comes from. So we just got to keep working on it and improve the quality of the execution. Keep going.
There's that even keel you talk about. Even like the way he's describing bad things happening to Ben Brown, he also understands it's a process. He's being forged right now in fire. That's really what's happening.
He handles these situations very well. Craig Counsell's strength with that temperament, you saw that in Milwaukee for a variety of years. That was what he did very well. Patience with young pitchers and actually knowing how to manage a bullpen because of that patience. And that's where I think you have to hope that you see that approach pay dividends with the Cubs. Not the best day to be looking at how well Craig Counsell has managed the bullpen this year, especially after the Seattle collapse. It's a, you know, the bullpen collapse was inevitable. They had been such a good group over the past and previous month that you've almost felt like they were due for a few clunkers in a row. I don't think that tells me that they are overmatched or, you know, they do need a swing and miss guy that's more obvious. Maybe that's Porter Hodge, maybe not. But I do think that when you hear Craig Counsell talk about Ben Brown, it's consistent with the way he talks about everything.
I think for me, listening to these guys describe what's going on with Ben Brown, and like I said, I really do appreciate everything that he's giving us insight on, because you know how short players can be when they're struggling, right? He's very thoughtful. He's very introspective. And hearing him talk about it, and as you know, he knows Shota Imanaga's coming back on Thursday. He knows that his future is hanging in the balance. He knew that when he took the mound last
night.
And so you wonder how much it actually affects him. Well, he actually talked about that after the game last night.
I mean, stuff like that's going to be in the back of your mind. Obviously, when guys show up in the locker room and they need spots to pitch, it's hard. So, but ultimately, doesn't matter. I just got to go do my job. I didn't do that tonight. So.
Does that play in your mind when you're pitching, or do you try to?
Yeah, you do your best just to focus on what you can control.
Okay, I like Ben Brown a lot, and I have liked him since he came up because he's got all the time for all the questions, and he goes on with Lance Brozdowski, and they can break down pitches, and they know all the spin, all the stuff.
But
there's a but. The problem when you have, and I've said this about guys in every sport, when you have athletes who are so self-aware and their awareness and their intelligence is part of their strength because they can anticipate things and they know things are about to happen, they're smart players. Sometimes that can become a weakness as well because you don't miss a beat. You know everything going on around you, and it can be somewhat paralyzing. And when Ben Brown talks about not being able to, oh, yeah, it's in the back of my mind. You know what that means? It's in the front of his mind. He's pitching with anxiety that is unnecessary. I would have much rather him said, you know what? I focus on one thing, and I focus on getting the ball over the plate, striking guys out, getting players out. I don't worry about anything else other than that. You would like him to have that mindset, but that's hard to do. That's hard to do when you have as much at stake with every start as Ben Brown does when he's hearing between starts that he's going to be replaced.
773 on the text line, David. Hi, Marshall and David. Ben Brown seems to be the Cubs version of Michael Kopech. His stuff translates better to the bullpen. One or two innings of swing and miss stuff. I don't want to give up on him as a starter, and I do understand.
Hold on. That's a compliment.
Yes, I know. Well, it's a compliment.
Michael Kopech in the bullpen is... He helped the Dodgers win a World Series.
I understand this. I'm not arguing any of those points. I know you want to go back to when I covered the Phillies, right? When they won the World Series against the Rays. David Price was a weapon.
2008?
Out of the bullpen. That's it. And you remember how, obviously, this guy's going to be a starter for us. But right now, in this moment, in our quest to win a World Series, what did they have David Price doing? Throwing out the pen.
Mm-hmm.
And he was doing it. Left-handed arm out the pen that could just shut down the likes of a Chase Utley, Ryan Howard, the big left-handed bats in that
mm-hmm.
lineup.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm not saying Brown can't do that. I'm just saying I don't think we're there yet. But we might be, one, Shota Imanaga comes back. Two, a trade is made in the next 6 to 9 days because it was 7 to 10 yesterday, right?
Yeah, I think it's probably week and a half.
Okay.
And I hope Bruce is right, but I do think things happen in baseball. You never quite know if guys are going to – It'd be unusual if a trade of that magnitude was made more than a month before the trade deadline.
But it would be helpful for a Cubs team trying to run away from the division right
now.
The division is getting a lot closer to them, and things are trending the wrong way. The Cubs' four-game series against the Cardinals continues tonight from St. Louis. Pre-game coverage begins at 6:10, first pitch at 6:45 on the Score in the Southwest Airlines Cubs Radio Network. We switch gears with David Haw, who's in for Layla in this first hour. I got to get his thoughts on what's going on in the NBA and the fact that the Bulls have yet to make a trade, but what kind of trade could they make if they did? What could you get for a guy, say, like Coby White, as we see guards being moved for four first-round picks around the NBA? We talk about that and more. Raheemi and Harris, David Haw in on 670 The Score.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way. At the exact same time, like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Raheemy and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on 670 The Score.
There's different structures that you can try to get to championship. There's a 2-3, you know, star players and then a lot of role players, or you can build it as a 9-10, very good players. And I think now we're leaning towards to have a lot of solid, good players, a 9-10 that can last through the season.
That was Arturis Karnišovas just after the trade deadline last season explaining how you could build a contender with 9 to 10 very good players. He said it. Many laughed and scoffed at him. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I just watched an NBA Finals with an Indiana Pacers team that kind of falls into that mode. Now they have...
Fine. Okay. Who's your Halliburton?
Oh, no.
Who's your Siakam?
They're not there. No.
But I think that the point is well taken. The Pacers were a committee with a chairman of the committee or a co-chairman of the committee, right? They were a committee approach to winning it all. The OKC Thunder, they had the MVP and they had you know, his sidekick, and they had that more traditional way of winning a championship. What AK's leaning into is the committee approach, and the Bulls need depth in that context.
Let me bounce it back to you. How many of those 9 to 10 do you believe are on the roster right now that could contend one day for a championship?
It's hard to really answer that, Marshall, because like you don't go much deeper than 5, 6. I don't even know if you get there.
On the Bulls right now?
4.
I don't see more
okay.
than...
Okay, you could win on a team like the Pacers. Let's say like the Pacers.
Okay.
You could see Kobe White and Ayo Dosunmu having roles on a team like that, because I don't know contractually if that makes sense, but you're asking me from a basketball perspective.
No, I'm asking strictly basketball.
You could see those two guys playing roles because they're both, they have different strengths and they complement each other pretty well.
I noticed who you did not say off the top.
Who's that?
Josh Giddey. You didn't say that off
well,
the top.
Well, I think that he's in the next kind of level, because I'm thinking backcourt and moving up. So I think Josh Giddey is a guy that you can envision playing multiple roles, his versatility would be valuable. I don't know if it's $30 million a year valuable.
It's not.
But it's the market rate, and you might have to overpay.
What are you... see,
you
that's...
You might have to overpay.
Here's when you say market rate. Here's where I push back
it's
heavily on that.
It's a complacency tax. It's a complacency tax.
Here's what I say to that. When you talk about market rate, I understand capitalism. I studied in school. Supply and demand,
you were
right?
A history major.
Oh, no.
No, you were math. You're a math guy.
Yeah, I am a math guy.
And you went
guy.
To college for free.
I
Mississippi State.
Listen, if it's free, it's me. My favorite price is free 99 on all things.
But you overlooked that. That was an academic scholarship.
Yes, I'm impressed. It was. We are not all blessed to go on athletic scholarships such as the great Hall of Famer.
Okay, let's move on.
Multiple Hall of Fames, right, David Haw.
So your point was what?
So the point is this. Giddey, they're talking about $30 million, David. They're talking about $30 million.
I know.
Who are they bidding against?
Well, they're bidding against the team that might swoop in and get them. I don't know the answer to that, Marshall, but
let me ask you this,
it wouldn't
David.
Surprise me if a team were to look at their cap situation. I'd have to do more research.
There's only one, I'm about to tell you. There's Who only one it? Team that has the cap space to do something. The Brooklyn Nets. That doesn't fit what they're trying to do.
Okay.
How can you, in good conscience, as a front office member for the Bulls or really any NBA team, especially with your track record and how people are looking at you, sign Josh Giddey to a $30 million per year contract without him at first signing an offer sheet with another team saying someone else wanted to pay you $30 million?
You want the rest of the team to set the market for you?
That's why you have restricted free agency.
You would like to trust the Bulls to be able to do that. I just don't. I guess. I don't think that they would. I just don't think they're going to do that. I think they're going to probably overpay to keep him.
Does that mean they did not learn the lesson when it came to what they did with Patrick Williams?
Well, I'm not sure what that lesson is. I mean, the first of all, they overdrafted him.
Don't let people come and take your money without making them sign an offer sheet as a restricted free agent. Remember that time?
He was overdrafted and overpaid. That's a bad combination, by the way. You don't want to do that. With Josh Giddey, I do think that he proved last year he's worth keeping. Second half of the season was pretty impressive, Marshall. He was in pretty rare company when you look at his numbers. I know they may be, to some people, empty calories, but I do think that you could justify keeping him. And if you have the
I don't have a problem with the Bulls keeping Josh Giddey. You just don't need to pay him more than you need to pay him. And if that's $22, $23, $25 million, okay. But why are you paying him $30 million?
Cap's going up. $30 million isn't what it used to be.
But that second apron is real, David. And so when you sign a guy like that to $30 million,
you are the master of the second apron.
He's got to be.
I've heard you talk about the second apron before.
And we're going to talk about it more.
How many aprons do you have?
I have one apron at my house. But listen
to
this.
Your kitchen is immaculate.
People single use aprons. I don't like. I've never used an apron.
I have a buddy.
Well,
David,
when you ever cook bacon, you need an apron.
Well, I know you do with the popcorn.
And
of course,
popcorn needed.
Yes.
Look, no one's disrespecting your popcorn making skills.
You better not.
So what I'm saying is, if you sign Josh Giddey to a $30 million a year contract, he then has to be the blank best player on your team. You fill in that blank and explain how you're going to construct a championship contender.
Second best. Right now, he's the second best.
Do you think Josh Giddey can be the second best player on an NBA title team? An NBA Eastern Conference Finals team, even? No.
Not at this moment.
The point is, if he's on a team that gets to the Eastern Conference Finals, he's probably the...
You're getting caught up in the dollars.
At best. Okay, why was the Desmond Bane trade made?
Dollars?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
What? And so... Understand the dollars play a bigger part in this post-Big Three era than it ever has before in the NBA. And you have to be conscious of that. Otherwise, you're building a train wreck. See, last team that the Bulls got to the playoffs.
Back to the exercise. Okay, we don't want to get sidetracked on money because I think it's inevitable that Josh Giddey is going to stay here. So you ask, how many players on this current roster are going to be part of a playoff caliber Eastern Conference top four team?
You said Dosunmu, White,
Io,
Giddey.
Kobe, Giddey, Matas, Lonzo Ball.
Lonzo Ball's not going to be here.
Why?
Because he signed a two-year deal and they're not going anywhere in the next 2 years.
Okay, but you asked a question, good enough. Or still here?
Okay, so five guys. But so they're halfway there.
If you want to be realistic about who's going to be still here, I should mention Patrick Williams because his contract is not movable. And the only way you're going to get rid of him is to eat it, and they're not going to do that. So let's scratch out Lonzo Ball because he'll be long gone, and P. Will is here for the duration. So we got five players typically – or right now on the list. Where's Dalen Terry? Is he part of that group?
Of course not.
All right. Well, why is of course not? Is Julian Phillips? He might be. All right.
But the problem is now you've gotten to six players, and those six players aren't good enough to win a title. And the three players they'd have to add to be able to be title contenders would have to be better than all the players on your roster except for maybe one or two.
Is the 12th pick in the draft one of those guys, and how big of a difference can he make?
He better be. That is my point. He better be. And you know what? We'll talk about this with John Hollinger, senior NBA columnist for The Athletic, the former Grizzlies vice president of basketball operations, as he's released his top 75 prospects one day before the NBA draft. David Hall in for Layla. It's Raheem and Harris on 670 The Score.
He is baseball Patrick Williams.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team.
It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North convenience stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North convenience stores, fast, friendly, clean.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.